life and death from David's point of view. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, reference is made by David to a way of life that begins and ends in the glory of God. He says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This Psalm 1 begins with a negative statement. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not go along with, he's not a companion of, he's not practicing a walk that is ungodly walk. That word ungodly, instead of being godly with his walk, prayerful in his days and ways, and looking forward to those things about God's providence in his life, he goes about life an ungodly fashion. That is, without the thought of God in the morning when he wakes up, without the thought of God when he eats his food in the noontime, without the thought of God when he lies down upon his couch or bed at night to sleep. No thought is given, no prayer is offered, no plans are made. He is ungodly in his practice of life. He goes on to talk about, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He's not standing there in order to look for an opportunity to do something out of the way. He's not planning a way in which there is no good that's going to come. He is not thereby standing in a way that is a way that's going to be judged against. You know, there are a lot of people that go along with a crime being committed by other people. They are the drivers of the car sometimes. They are the openings of the door sometimes. They sometimes have stolen the keys to the lock so that the door might be open. And they furnish the opportunity for those who actually do the thievery and actually do the kind of activity like that. And they may sometimes claim in court, "I wasn't really there." But the idea was that you were there in spirit and in way of life. You're walking in and you're standing in the way of sinners when you do that. "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The scornful individual is a person who is critical of others. Critical of that which is right in this context. Critical of that which is righteous and good. The criticizer, the one who is a scoffer, finds himself critical of those who worship God. Critical of those who pray to God. Critical of those who have peace with God. They find themselves opposite to that way. It is the case that as we see them sit in their seat of the scornful, unique is this. Because the first two notations about life is that he's walking in the counsel of ungodly, he's standing in the way of sinners, now he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. That describes the scornful. For what is he going to do to make things better? What is the scornful going to do in the criticisms that are offered? What's he going to do to rise up and to say, "Follow me and do this with me and let's go with you and let's help this to be better"? There's no effort on that part. Laziness is a part of that person's life, has only a verbal criticism to offer. A scornful individual is the way that it is done. But notice in verse 2, a great change is done about this man who is blessed, that doesn't walk in those ways, nor stand in those ways, nor sit in that seat. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in him does he meditate day and night. It is the case that in God's law, he finds himself a joy. He delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law, he really meditates upon it. He seeks to know what his is. I can think back during the days of this early part of this republic. in which the stories are told in regard to various teachers of the Word of God, and how that at nighttime, with the fire of a pine knot, or the fire of a fireplace, the fire of the later a lamp that was in the room, they found themselves reading and reading and researching and researching the knowledge of the Word of God, and did it in such a good way. There's a story told by a man who walked out of the hospital one day, and he was walking down the street, and he saw a car that was parked along the way there. And in the particular riding seat, passenger seat of the car, he recognized that it was the late Brother Gus Nichols sitting there. Open Bible in his hand, he was reading, rather dramatically he was reading, and didn't realize that the gentleman had walked up to his car and had spoken to him an open window that he had and said, "Brother Nichols, how are you doing?" Well, to where Brother Nichols always answered, "I'm doing very well today, thank you." And along the way he said, "What are you doing reading the Bible, I see?" And he said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I want to know all I can about Him." Brother Nichols at that time was 65 years of age. He had sat in that automobile in the passenger seat while others that had ridden up that way had gone into the hospital, not wishing that day to make a walk as he did up the steps and up the stairs. You know, sometimes these hospitals have ways of fixing people so that you have to be healthy to go visit in the hospital. You have to drive, you have to park so far away, then you have to walk up a hill to get to the place, then up steps to get into that place. Fortunately, some of these newer hospitals now, they've disabandoned the steps and they make a little ramp for you to go up. But you got to be a healthy person to go into the hospital to visit somebody, to say the least. But in this regard, that day he decided that he would just sit there and occupy his time with an open Bible in his hand to know more about Him. The good brothers, when he told that story later on, said, "You know, at that point in time in his life, I feel sure he knew as much about Him and preached as much about Him and probably had baptized right at 10,000 people at that time because he knew about Him than we younger preachers would ever know." And that is so possibly true. But I raise the question that he raised then. Can we ever get to the point where we say, "I know enough about Him"? His delight is in the law of the Lord. There are people all through life that can get into habits of life that they delight in. Some people get into delights of having cards that have ball players on them. And they can memorize the batting averages. They can memorize the positions played and the teams that they were on. They can know them from memory. And they've got a stack of cards that's as high as this pulpit and as wide or more, just single file. They delight in that. That's not a bad thing to use a little extra money to do that and do it whatever you want to do and chew the bubble gum that you get in the package with it. That's not a bad thing to do. At the same time, do we delight in the law of the Lord? And delight has a different kind of effort on our part when we delight in doing it. "He shall be like a tree," verse 3 says, "planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The idea of the person who is a blessed man, who's not walking with evil and wrongdoing and sitting in the sea of the scornful, he has this delight in the Lord and in his law. And he is a person who is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, flourishing, bringing forth its fruit. The leaves are not withering. The root system is supplied. This is a prospering situation. God says regarding the New Testament, the Bible through Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, that He sends the sun upon the just and the unjust, and the rain descends upon the just and the unjust. Those physical blessings of God for people get some people to be deceived. They think that because they have a real prosperous garden, real prosperous marriage, real prosperous ways of life in their business, that it must be that I'm okay with God. It must be that I'm all right with the Lord. It must be that I'm blessed of God. But in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says that we're to bless God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we're to bless Him because He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. When he's talking about physical blessings, he's talking about in Matthew 5, he's talking about the just and the unjust. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, he's talking about all spiritual blessings are for those that are in Christ. If we find ourselves in life looking at the Lord as though the material blessings of life have blessed us eternally, spiritually, we're deceiving ourselves. My need to be baptized into Christ as a person of faith in Him is so important for me to do that I might be baptized into Christ. Because it's in Christ that the spiritual blessings of salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life are actually found. Find a time that you can be immersed into Christ. Most of the time it is the case that in our baptistry here and clothing being provided for you, if you so wish, you could be baptized into Christ at any of the hours of the day or evening. It is the case that that decision has to be made and that effort has to be given. Would we not find ourselves enjoying this blessing and find prosperity, real prosperity? For it matters not how the garden produced this year, or how my job and career may have advanced. If I find myself forgiven by God of sins that will take me away from Him, they are freed from me. And now I'm in Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans 6. Shall we continue to do sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were buried with Him by baptism into His death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also are raised to walk in newness of life. What are we talking today about here? About life and death and David and Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When Paul could write about that and say, I have been immersed into the death of Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, he rejoiced in that hope of the soul, because he says in Acts 23:1, I receive mercy from the Lord. That mercy from the Lord you and I want, Some people think that they want their just desserts at the judgment day. No, no, no. You don't want the justice desserts. You want the merciful offerings that His grace will furnish to you and me. What a blessing as we live life. The day will come when our earthly life will be ended. But that hope of the soul, He says here, goes on. For the leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The song of invitation this morning is furnished. Let's stand together as we sing this hymn and come to obey the Lord if you need to do so as we stand to sing.
Just as